You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey kids,
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky, it's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's dance off, bro. Me and you.
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gilp.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, I mean Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins.
I'm Sam Tweedle.
I'm Chris Gilpin.
And hey, we're back from Christmas. We're back from the holidays.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you guys both have a... Now, let's see.
Wait. I think this is Dan's first show of this season.
It's season number...
So welcome
five.
Back, Dan.
Hello, yeah, yes. I know I had missed a...
We missed you so much.
Missed yeah. a few...
You
a
know,
few...
it does realize... I realized after a while this season that I really missed you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good to see you back. Okay. Yeah. Did you guys all have a good holiday? I know I haven't seen you at all, Dan. Have I seen you since holidays, Chris?
Yeah, I think so.
Did I?
I think so.
I don't know. I know we went out. No, I saw you right before Christmas.
Yeah, right
we went to that. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, you guys have a good holiday?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Right? Yeah.
Did you guys get any comic book related stuff or cool stuff for Christmas?
Only the stuff I bought myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, did you buy them with gift cards somebody gave you?
No.
Oh, then that doesn't count.
It doesn't count. No. I bought the, you know what I picked up that was really cool that I didn't see before? It was actually our friend Adam at EB Games.
Yes.
Well, he wrote me. You also, I know a lot about EB Games.
My twin brother, Adam.
Yes. Yeah. So anyways, there's a brand new Archie board game.
Yes.
And I went and I bought it. I have nobody to play it with. Hint, hint. But it's pretty cool. It has Dan Perrin art. And,
sweet.
Oh, nice.
And what's really cool is the art piece in the middle that you're supposed to get to, Pop's yep. Restaurant, is actually, I own the original art that is that square, and it hangs on the in my office. It was a Fernando Ruiz piece that I bought off him a number of years ago. So that was very cool. It's a really beautiful game. And one thing I really like about it is you pick three Archie characters to be your team.
Okay.
And of course you have your basic characters: Archie, Veronica, Reggie, Jughead, Betty. But also you can be some other people on your team can be Moose and Midge and Dilton and Chuck and Josie and the Pussycats and Sabrina and there's a Kevin Keller. You can be Keller.
Maybe Cheryl.
You can be Cheryl.
Nice.
Cheryl's one. Yeah. And
sweet.
So. Some of the different bringing in some of the other characters I thought was a really neat touch, and it's a nice looking game. So that was probably my comic book present to myself.
Well, I know I'm sure Dan Parent listens to every one of our shows, but I just want to thank him because I gave our niece, mm-hmm. the original sketch of Jughead that I had done at Fan Expo, and she just loved it.
Oh, that's great.
And her dad loved it too. He gave me a big hug. So yeah, it was great.
Yeah,
it
did you get any comic book stuff?
I got quite a bit because I have a birthday that falls in the Christmas
That's
area.
Right.
So I actually just for Christmas, I didn't get a lot of comic book related stuff. I got a really cool thing, though. It's the newspaper strips of the He-Man comic book.
Oh, wow.
Because they, in the 80s, for a couple years, they ran a He-Man comic book, Masters of the Universe.
I didn't know that.
And what's really cool is that... The strip, I've read a lot, and it actually, rekindled this, love of He-Man I had from years ago. But the strips were lost. The artists and writers only had, the first year of strips, and there was, two or three years' worth that were lost. So the guys who compiled the book went on this, worldwide search and actually found the strips had been syndicated in other countries like Spain and in Mexico, and they got the strips and then took out the the dialogue, yeah, and replaced it with the proper dialogue from the original scripts.
Oh,
and there's still about 40 of the strips missing out of 300 or 400. And so in the book, they just have a little write-up about what each strip is. But it was super cool. It's in this giant book.
Yeah.
And
do,
I've
do,
been,
do you know what company put it out?
It's Dark Horse put the actual newspaper strip out. Yeah.
I would love to get a copy of that.
Yeah, they should have it just at Chapters, because that's where I got this one.
I bet you. I'll go check it out. I'd love to see that thing.
Nice. Yeah.
And then for my birthday, I got Why the Last Man, Volume 1.
Okay.
From Brian K. Vaughan, mm-hmm. which is pretty good. I read that all on New Year's Day.
No
I just
doubt.
Read the entire thing.
No
like
doubt.
The entire series?
Well, the entire first volume, which is the only one I had.
All right, I see.
And then Scalped, Volume 1 from Jason Aaron.
Scalped's one of my favorite series that a lot of people didn't read.
Yeah.
I'm was pretty crazy about it. Are you very far into it?
I've only read the first issue so far.
All right. Let me tell you, it was one of those books that took me a long time to get into. You know,
yeah.
I started reading and I was on the verge of dropping it for like the longest time, and then all of a sudden one issue came out and I was like, oh wait, this series has just finally gelled together, and now
yeah.
I get it, and I became a big hardcore fan. But I'm going to tell you the secret of this book. Ready?
Yeah.
I'm not spoiling anything.
Okay.
Bad Horse, he's not the star of the series.
Okay.
Yeah, I know you're reading it right now and you think he is.
Yeah.
But he's not. And the moment you realize the book's not about him, you will enjoy
it. It starts getting good.
Yeah. Once you realize that, it's almost misleading. You know what I mean? Or maybe they Jason Aaron originally meant it to be about him, and then
something else. Yeah.
Something else, and goes wait, and then I don't know the true story behind it. But the moment you realize that Dash Bad Horse is not, do you have any idea who the main character would be?
No, because I've only read one issue so far.
Well,
but
he's in the first issue.
I'm sure he is. But
the star of that series.
I'm going to go home and read it right now, Sam.
All right. I won't tell you. But anyways, yeah, it was a book I almost dropped a number of times. But once it got going, man,
yeah.
that it'd make a great TV series.
Because, I mean, I've heard nothing but good things about this one. And so I put it on my Christmas list, got it for my birthday. So that was exciting.
That's great.
Yeah.
I didn't ask you, Christmas stuff, did you get anything? I know your niece got the Jughead.
Yeah, I got a great pop vinyl of Ludo from Labyrinth.
Oh yeah, cool.
Saw that at Walmart. Like, oh, Santa, I want that for sure. So yeah, it was pretty quiet this year. It was nice and quiet. And
that's good.
Relaxed.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah. So what do you guys want to go in for?
Comics?
Here? Comics? Oh, I got some. I brought some.
You got some that you've been reading?
Okay, so I let things build up a little bit at the comic stores that I was at. And because, I don't know why, but between Fan Expo and Christmas, I always get pretty strapped for cash. And I stop buying stuff at the comic store. And then right in January, I'll go and I'll just...
Clean house,
right? Yeah. Which always costs me a ridiculous amount of money. So I went out the beginning of the week and I went and just bought everything and every. I went to World's Collide and bought all the stuff I have there. I went to CBA and bought all the stuff I had there. I even went to Great Guardian to buy a box to hold all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been reading comics all week. My goal, I had like, I don't know. I don't even know how many comics, like 60, maybe 65 books.
Yeah.
I've just been plowing through them. I've been reading the good. I've been reading the bad. I've picked up some series. I've canceled some series. But I brought a couple of things that just really stood out to me. The first one is, it's pretty interesting. And I'm just going to get into what it's about. It's Dynamite is doing a brand new Barbarella book by Mike Carey and Kenan Yarair. I believe is his name. And now, of course, we all know the Barbarella movie with Jane Fonda.
Yep.
But I don't know if a lot of people know the history of Barbarella. Barbarella was originally a comic book, a French comic written by Jean-Claude Forest for a men's magazine in France. And it was this sexy story. It's about a sexy space adventure. And the first Barbarella series... they really did manage to incorporate it really well into the movie. Like it wasn't a direct telling, but they inserted like a lot of the stuff that did happen. It's a really cool way they've done it. And then there was a second one called Barbarella's in like the sex circus or circus in space or something, which was the second series. Both of these were translated and reprinted not long ago. And I think if you go to World's Clyde, they do have the Barbarella collection from the 60s. The new series is a bit of a risky go because this is actually the first time Barbarella's had her own comic.
Right.
Okay, because this was...
She wasn't like in a magazine.
Right, it was in a magazine. And it's also the first time a new Barbarella story's been written since the 1960s. And it's the first time Barbarella's been written by someone who's not Jean-Claude Forest.
Right.
Okay? Right. So, and it's also an American writing it.
Yeah. Right? And it's not a remake, like a redo.
No,
it's a
no,
completely
it's,
new story.
It's a completely new story. Yeah. So it's kind of like, I was like a little skeptical, but I've been really surprised. The art harkens back really well to the original art. And the type of story, like it's surreal science fiction fantasy with a bit of a sexy sex turn. And I'm kind of, and it's not brilliant, but I'm kind of like, you know what? Like, I think if Jean-Claude Forest read this, he'd be like, right on. You know what I mean? Like, he would be like, you know, I kind of like what you guys are doing with my character. So basically what it's about, so there's been two issues so far, is Barbarella goes to this, now she's part, she's from planet Earth, but she is like an intergalactic secret agent type. And she goes to this planet that has like this, like... universe destroying missile or something to right. And the moment she gets on the planet, she's immediately arrested because she has a vagina.
There you go.
Because that having sexual organs is outlawed on this planet. So she goes through this machine which actually grafts her, so she loses her vagina and she's put into prison where she starts some kind of weirdo orgy and escapes, and now she is trying to get back, like stop this missile from being created and get her vagina back.
Well, yeah.
So that, this is her, yes. This is what, I'm not making this up. This is what this series is about.
Oh, man.
It is, it's really off the wall, but it's, I'm like, yeah, it's kind of like what the original strip was like. Yeah. So.
Well, looking at the cover.
Yeah.
All I think of is heavy metal.
Definitely, definitely. Right? There's a heavy metal bend to it. Yeah. Yeah. Should I carry on with the next book?
Sure.
Or yeah, is that enough?
Ahead.
Okay.
No,
all right. Betty and Veronica Vixens.
Oh, boy.
Now, I know. Okay, so this was a series when I first saw it come out. I was like, oh, for crying out loud, because everybody knows I don't like when they mess with my Archies, which they love to do. But I couldn't resist, so I picked up the first two issues, and I was pleasantly surprised on how much I love this book. It's so ridiculous. It's so ridiculous, it doesn't even make sense, but that's why it's kind of awesome. It is by, I don't even know who these people are. I'm looking, I see their last names. I'm not bringing it out of its plastic bag to figure out who's writing this thing, but I'll tell you right now, I'm not nuts about the art at all. I think the art is...
Is it like the cover?
Yeah, kind of like that. The art's pretty, it's not good. But the story is so wild. So basically, it's... Archie and Reggie get motorbikes, and they decide to start to be a bike gang, because obviously that's what they're going to do. Right. And Betty and Veronica go riding with them, quote unquote. Mm. And Archie, in complete Archie style, ends up accidentally going to the clubhouse of this biker gang called the Serpents, and he knocks over their bikes, and now the Serpents ride into Riverdale and destroy Riverdale. And Archie and Reggie are just so stupid at being bikers that Betty and Veronica decide to take things into their own hands and start their own all-girl rebel biker gang, because that's what they would do. So Betty and Veronica, along with Midge, Ethel, and Tony, are the Riverdale Vixens who are fighting the Serpents in this turf war, this bikers.
It's so good you can't even get through it without laughing.
Right.
It's so ridiculous. But you know what? I kind of like it because it's so off the wall. It's just... And I might add, one of the reasons I like it is that it is Archie-like hijinks. Archie stumbling into the... clubhouse for the biker gang and knocking over their bikes and getting Riverdale destroyed. Like, it's has that zany Archie comedy, which I like, which, you know, and that's always been my problem with stuff like some of the current Archie stuff. It's not funny.
Yeah.
And this is funny. You know, it's just, it's goofy and it's off the wall and it doesn't involve anybody having sex with Miss Grundy or anybody dying or anybody being pregnant or anybody cutting themselves. It's funny yet kind of weird. And I really dig it. It's 2 issues out so far. I bought it on the fly and I'm really glad I did because I'm kind of liking it.
So, question.
Except for the art. It's terrible.
In the Archies that you like,
yeah.
Is there a biker gang in anywhere in...
No, no, okay. No, not at all.
Okay, so you said they're called the Serpents?
Yeah.
Do you know where I'm going with this?
Well, is that the name of the...
Southside Serpents and...
Yeah, that's who it is.
Okay, all right.
I didn't know that.
I'm just pointing that out there. Well,
gee.
Thanks.
Okay, well...
Thanks.
Anyway.
No, this I want to hear about.
Yeah, okay. We were talking a little bit this on the last show, where I was saying anything to do with Jean Grey... maybe returning. I'm a sucker and I buy it. It's the only time I buy X-Men anything is when I'm like, hey, there is, you know, and I've been duped so many times. Every single time. But every single time that the name Phoenix is on a book, I'm there, you know? And this was one where I thought to myself, you know, I'm not going to buy it. I'm not going to buy it. So what we're talking about, by the way, is Phoenix Resurrection.
Is that issue 3
this
already?
This is issue 3.
It's a weekly, right?
It's a weekly. Okay. It's missing. It's skipping a week this week.
Oh, wow.
And then it'll and it also ties into the Jean Grey book as well, regular book, which buy. All right. So anyways, I don't read the X-Men books, so I don't really understand the status quo stuff. But also, I can't even tell you, I can't even explain really what's happening. I don't know. Jean Grey is coming back, folks.
All right.
And all the characters are involved. So for me, it's kind of, even though I'm thinking about it, I've read the first 3 books and I don't know. I don't want to give too much away and it doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but I enjoy seeing, like, because I don't read the X-Men books, but I've read them on and off for years and I like the characters. So, you know, Shadowcat's in it and Gambit's in it and Wolverine's in it and you know and all my X-Men friends and Jean Grey's coming back. They haven't reunited with her. She's there. I don't know.
Wolverine's in it? Like
no,
old man
it's,
Logan?
No, it's old man Logan. Okay, but right. You know what I mean? Like yeah. You know, so it is what it is. I'm enjoying it so far. And what I like about this one is I know at the end of it, Jean Grey's actually going to come back this time. So I won't be disappointed
and
as I have
be
in every
off,
yeah. other. I guess she'll be killed off because she's a phoenix to rise again. So
yeah,
those are I think the most interesting books. Now I had one book I was going to bring in, which was the worst comic I've probably read in years, and I have it in the car. But you know what? I decided not to bring it in because I don't want to be negative about stuff. Because that'll lead into something else I want to talk about. But before I get into that, I was just going to open up the floor to you guys because I've been talking for like 10 minutes straight.
Okay. Well, now I'd have to know what comic it is, though. You don't have to go into it, but what comic is it that you didn't like?
The Justice League of America Annual Number 1.
Okay. I haven't read it, so I have
one
no
of
idea.
The
but...
Okay, anyways, though. See, now you may be all negative.
No, so. No, I just wanted to know.
All right, so I took a big step this Christmas. I did something this Christmas on the computer, on social media, and I want to talk it over with you guys, and because I think as being part of fan culture, we're all part of the problem, if it is a problem, if anybody thinks it's a problem. But it all started, now have we all in here seen Star Wars?
Yes.
No.
Okay, well, we're not really going to talk about Star Wars or wreck it for you, okay?
But here's the major spoilers.
Yeah.
No major spoilers. All right.
That little furry creature with Chewbacca is actually the Last Jedi.
Porgs are awesome! Oh my
and
god, I love
he made
porgs.
A little lightsaber.
I love porgs. Porgs are like the cats of the Star Wars universe. Oh. They're so great.
Yeah.
All right. So I went and saw Star Wars. Actually, you know, I think this even goes further. It's sort of goes when I went and saw Justice League. All right, I went and saw Justice League, and I really like Justice League. And then I went and saw Star Wars. And I really like Star Wars. But I go onto the internet and all I see is articles about negative fan reaction about Justice League. Negative fan reaction about Star Wars. And everybody's losing their collective crap over the negative fan reaction. All right? And I'm a fan. And I'm thinking to, you know, these movies. And I'm a pretty critical guy. We all know that. Anyone who listens to the shows knows how bloody critical I am. Not only that, I have, I took 4 years of film in school, mm-hmm. right? I don't, and as Marty would definitely love to point out, I can be really elitist and arrogant when it comes to film.
Riverdale.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
What?
But here's the thing. I liked Justice League. I like Star Wars. And I get this idea in my head that I truly believe what's going on in fandom today is there are people out there ready to hate it.
Exactly.
Before it's even, like, they haven't even seen it yet, and they're already in the computer. Like, they're just, they're gearing up.
Yeah.
So I'm on the computer, and I'm seeing articles. 10 things Star Wars got wrong, Last Jedi got wrong. You know, 10 things that didn't make sense, or, you know, ways that Star Wars could have been better, and fan reaction, and the way, you know, so-and-so's tweeted his response to fan reaction. And I'm like, you know what? I am so tired of toxic fan negativity.
Yeah.
And I know that even on our own show that we can be part of that.
Oh, yeah.
We can be part of that. You bring up the whole thing with Riverdale. And I'll get into that in a second on how I think I fit into that. But I decided I don't want to see that crap. I just don't want to hear what 1,000 nerds that were ready to kick the crap out of The Last Jedi even before they saw it.
Yeah.
Think about it. I don't care. They hated it before they even saw it. I don't care what they think. I don't care what they think. I care what I think. And you, maybe you didn't like it. I know Marty had his problems with it.
What?
With I like The Star Last Wars. Jedi.
I like Star Wars.
Okay, you did. Okay, great.
Yeah.
But
I saw Justice League twice.
Yeah.
I was never bored. It just flew by.
I didn't want to go to Justice League because I usually don't like stuff like that. And I actually liked it, right?
I thought it was good.
So when I was on social media, what I've been doing is every time I see an article about negative fan reaction or any sort of toxic fandom thing, I block it.
Yeah.
And I've been blocking all of the comic news sites.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I have none of them on my feed on, the only two I release is Tumblr and, oh my goodness. I use Facebook and I use the
Snapchat?
No, I don't use that. I'm not Instagram? 14. Instagram, thank you.
You're not 14.
We'll leave that for another show.
All right. So anyway, and then I also started blocking stuff like, you know, 10 times Superman got it on and 4 times he didn't.
Yeah.
Or, you know, 10 things that you didn't know about Deadpool, you know, and you read through the 10 things I didn't know about Deadpool. Deadpool's a mutant. You know, Deadpool's a Canadian.
Yeah.
Deadpool will have sex with everything. Yeah. You know, it's just like, I always love the ones like 10 things you didn't know about Superman. Oh, what? His real name's Clark Kent.
Oh.
He works for the Daily Planet.
Yeah.
You know, like any listicle that I see on with gone. Just gone. I can be as negative as the next person, but look, why is fandom, why do you guys think it's become as toxic as it's become where everybody's just ready to rage and hate on everything?
Social media.
It's probably like literally what you're saying there, except all those listicles are making money.
Hmm.
So they're perpetuating negativity because negativity will get more clicks than positivity.
Yeah. Hmm.
And also, you know, like a lot of people, well, if you don't see Star Wars day one, day two, there's that list up of all the things they got wrong. And even if you don't click on it, you're still going to the movie thinking, oh, they must not have been good because so it perpetuates the negativity in your viewing experience because you expect less because you see that everybody's angry about it.
Yeah. But I have a hard time believing everybody's angry about it.
All it takes is 3 loud voices on the internet.
Yeah, how many millions of people saw Star Wars?
Millions.
Right, and what do we got? How many bad reviews, people dissing it? Like a couple hundred that you've read, you know?
Well, I didn't read any of them.
Well, I know, but you know what I mean? As a percentage, they have the right to their own opinions.
They do, and we all do.
Yeah.
We all do, but...
But I mean, Star Wars is different because there's such a history. Right,
but it seems to be, but
DC movies, people like.
But I noticed this. Now let's talk about Doctor Who, the Doctor Who Christmas special, because I made a comment about this on Facebook, and I know you saw it. Is I watched the Doctor Who Christmas special, and I really liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I really liked it a lot, And I was like, okay, I cannot wait to go to the internet tomorrow to find out how many people hated it and why I'm wrong. And immediately, worst Doctor Who special, Christmas special ever. It was sucked. These 10 things wrong with the Doctor Who Christmas special, you know? And it was like,
yeah, 1 through 10 boom. Is Doctor Who's a woman.
Right, you know? Like,
it wasn't a joke that she's a woman, that's all.
You know, actually, I will tell you that when I watched, and as you guys know, I think Peter Capaldi could potentially be my favorite Doctor out of the new Doctors since the beginning of the series, because he's the closest to the Doctors that I grew up with.
Yeah.
Okay. And I already miss him.
But you mean age-wise, right?
Well, I just mean character-wise. Yeah. Like, now, he didn't always get it right. He was a little too angry in his first season.
Yeah.
I always thought those stupid sunglasses were moronic.
I kind of liked them just
I did like
silly,
when he put them on the first Doctor. That was hilarious.
Would you take those stupid things?
You know, but Capaldi, to me, really got it. And I already miss him. I'm so sad to see him go. But I got to admit, when I saw his eyes, his angry old man eyes, turn into woman's eyes, and he became Jodie Whittaker, I got kind of excited.
Yeah.
I was kind of like, oh my God, this is really happening. Let's go down this road. I'm so ready.
I wish that we didn't have to wait for the episodes. Yeah. Like, I wish that we could have just gone straight into an adventure with her or something. Because, you know?
Now, do you think what the TARDIS saw and spit her out? That was like a comment on the negative fan reaction?
It seems to do that a lot. What, it kicked Matt Smith out.
Well, I kicked Matt Smith out. All right. Anyways.
But that's the thing, right? People knew she was a woman, so they went into it hating it before they even saw it.
Yeah.
So. And but like, how, you can't possibly hate the Doctor Who Christmas special because the Doctor regenerates into a woman, which is the last 1 minute of the show that has nothing to do with anything.
About the armistice of, what was it, 1918?
Yeah.
Yeah. What a beautiful... It's
like, I got goosebumps.
It's a beautiful moment in history.
Yes.
And they recreate it so well. And they throw it right into Doctor Who Lawrence to Deep Way.
Yeah.
And Capaldi's final moments where he's running around... I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it right now.
Me too.
Running around the TARDIS screaming what the new Doctor should be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And everything the Doctor is. And he nails it. And I'm like, oh my God. And I was crying. Like, I'm like, I can't deal with Peter Capaldi only doing 3 series. Like, why is he leaving so soon?
Yeah.
And I got really excited when I saw Jodie Whittaker. I got really excited. Really excited. And I can't say I've ever been excited. More like, okay, let's see what we do. No, I was excited. And then the next day I go to the... And I read about all the negative fan reaction. And it's just... It's the same 300 people.
Yeah.
Like, why do you need hate? Like we all don't like stuff. Like, you don't like Brian Michael Bendis.
Hate him.
I know. I don't like Riverdale. You don't like something.
I like everything.
See, he likes everything. Yeah. Marty doesn't like anything.
No.
And we all have our thing, but here's the thing, and this is what I was going to bring up. Okay, so like I had, let's make a list of things that I haven't liked over the years. Black Annie, okay? I didn't go see the new Spider-Man movie because it wasn't Black Spider-Man. I didn't like, I don't like Riverdale. I don't do that. And I got problems with these things. But see, this is the difference. I don't see them.
Yes.
I got an idea that I'm not going to like it. So I just don't go see it.
Right.
Did you see that new episode of Walking Dead?
No. Because I don't, again, right? I don't watch Walking Dead because I know I'm not going to like it. So instead of spending 2 hours of my time and then getting on the internet and raging about it, I just don't spend a lot of time thinking about it until you guys bring it up on the radio show and I rage, you know, because you guys know how to make me spin.
There's lots of people raging about the last episode of The Walking Dead.
Oh, I heard about it. Some guy was telling me about it, about Carl being killed. Why would you do that? Because he's the most interesting character in the comic. Oh, wait, we're not talking about the comic anyway.
Yeah.
But why can't we do more of that? Like, I don't know if I'm wrong. Like, as I said, I know I can be part of the problem. We all can as fans. But I just don't see it.
It's just the way social media and the way people want to go out there and cause cause trouble, Martin. And, you know, go on to the website and stir up some things, Martin.
And... Oh, come on. Let go of me. He's our good. Okay. You know, Marty's laugh.
I'm only saying Martin because I know he's listening. Okay. He's messaging me.
I'm going to tell you something. Marty's last time he was trolling this week about the slabs and the keys was hilarious. It was comedy gold at its finest. It was so funny. And I'll tell you why. And I know our friend Tony, if he's out there, can agree, is that he was just trolling because slabs and keys, that's not comic fandom.
Yeah.
It's not comic fandom. And I think they were dealing with a lad who's not listening because he's not a comic fan.
Yeah.
He was just a hipster apparently Wynn asked if he was interested in any other stuff. He wasn't because he was going after hipster type comic stuff. Yeah. Right. It was different. And I don't know.
I don't think hipsters even know what a comic book is.
No. But. I'm accused of being a hipster all the time. So maybe we do. no, but my thing is, I thought it was funny. Martin, he's my best friend. He makes me laugh.
Yeah.
But sometimes he doesn't. But most of the time he does. I don't know. I just think, you know, we're all allowed to have our own opinions. But I'm tired of the toxic fandom rage. I'm just...
Yeah. See, going back to like what we were talking about a minute ago before we got sidetracked about Marty, that there's a difference between voicing your opinion because you didn't like something though, and people who are just trolling because it's either the thing that is cool and everybody's like, oh, somebody hates Last Jedi, so I'm just going to jump in there and be like, yeah, it sucks too. And like, you know what? If I read a comic book that I don't like,
yeah,
and I say, first of all, I just don't talk about stuff I don't like.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? There's, in my entire life, I've seen two movies that I've finished and went, that was a waste of my time. And
I've seen a lot more of those.
I've seen a lot of movies and some bad movies, but I'm always just like.
What are the two that you really hate? Like, just what are they?
Twilight.
Oh.
And Sucker Punch.
Oh, so I didn't like Sucker Punch.
I didn't like Sucker Punch.
I did not like Sucker Punch. I thought I should have liked it.
Yeah.
But man, did I not. What a depressing piece of horrible film.
So, like, those are the only two movies that I've ever watched and went, like, that was a waste of my time.
Yeah.
So, I think, like, I'm not a critical person.
Mm-hmm.
I just enjoy it for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I enjoyed Batman versus Superman. But you know why? Because of the critical fandom that told me it was going to be terrible. Mm-hmm. So, when I watched it, I was like, it's not as bad as they said.
See,
there's just the Martha moment.
I didn't see Batman versus Superman because I didn't like Superman, or what was that, Man of Steel, or whatever.
I haven't seen that one though.
This is how much I hate Man of Steel. Okay, I inherit, as a lot of you guys, you both know, I inherited a very sizable movie collection a number of years ago when a friend of mine died, and that couple thousand movies, and. When I went to the shelves, anything that I didn't take was literally being thrown into a dumpster. I left a Blu-ray copy of Man of Steel for the dumpster. Yeah. I mean, and this guy has some pretty questionable stuff in his collection, but that was the one thing where I'm like, you know what? I don't even want it in my house. But you know what I did get out of that collection was I got the Kirk Allen Superman movies.
Mm-hmm.
I got all five seasons of The Adventures of Superman with George Reeves.
Nice.
I got the Christopher Reeve Superman movies, which I already had one and two, but I got three and four. I got all of Lois and Clark, the entire series, which I still haven't seen. I mean, you know, he was a big Superman fan, mm-hmm. and I got all this great stuff, but Man of Steel wouldn't even bring it home on Blu-ray for free. I hated it that much, so that's why I didn't go to Superman.
Yeah.
And that's why I wasn't going to go to Justice League. But some friends, I'm always good that if friends are going somewhere and they're like, come on, Sam, you know what? Come to movies with us. I'll go for the outing and the camaraderie. I've seen a lot of bad movies that way. Thor, Ragnarok. But, and that's the thing. People like point out, you know what? You know what? Justice League was a bomb. And everything's been restructured, and there's not going to be a Justice League 2. But Thor Ragnarok made all this money, and it was a success.
Yeah.
Well, what? Well, I didn't like Thor, but you know who was not on the internet talking about how much they hated Thor? Me.
Yeah.
That's right. Right? Yeah. I didn't, you know, when it was like, all right, I have a hard time believing that. You're allowed to have your opinion, but, you know, I don't know. I just think because of social media, because of the computer age that we're in, it's just getting too crazy. And also, I really hope the studios aren't listening. Like, how seriously are they taking it?
Yeah, like, because the last thing you want is for these people who are just creating trouble for the sake of it to be actually influencing things,
mm-hmm.
you know? Mm-hmm. And, like, are creating, signing, making petitions to have the Joss Whedon cut of Justice League and the Zack Snyder cut of Justice League. Like, shut up. Honestly, just shut up.
Yeah. Yeah. Justice League was great just the way it was. Leave it alone, you know? Yeah. Or don't see it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I would have chose not to, you know? I'm glad my friends brought me to Justice League, which is my friends Christine and Bodie, who you guys have met. That's what we did.
I still haven't seen the last Fantastic Four movie, and it's on Netflix for free.
Oh, I won't see it.
Yeah.
Again, I have no because interest. I just think
see,
it's...
Now, I watched it, and it's not on my list of two things I've hated, so...
That's true. You know what? I just know I'm going to be like, ugh. See, yeah, if I have a feeling I'm not going to like something, I just don't see it.
Yeah.
And maybe Marty and me, we were talking about this the other day, and he was saying, well, maybe he loved Spider-Man Homecoming. And I've talked to some other people who I know that really liked it. And he's like, well, maybe you should see it. Maybe you should. How do you know you're not going to like it if you don't know? See, I may have had in my head how I felt about Justice League and had never seen it.
Yeah.
Right? And I would have probably done that if my friends hadn't brought me, okay? Maybe I will like Spider-Man Homecoming. Maybe I will. Maybe I might. But does it matter if I go my entire life without seeing it?
No.
Not really.
I mean, I had my reservations based on the trailer and mm-hmm. whatever, and I went to see it anyways. And, I mean, yeah, I make fun of it a lot, but some parts were entertaining.
Mm.
Like, but it was just too different for me. That's all.
And sometimes that's what it'll take. And maybe, do you think that could be where some of the negative fan reaction comes from sometimes because it's just too different?
Possibly.
Like, that's my problem with Riverdale. Yeah. Bottom line. Yeah. Actually, I got to admit that with my initial reservations with some of the casting, and I like a lot of the casting now that I've started seeing promo shots and stuff like that. Like, it looks great. And the other thing, too, would I want to watch a show about teenagers hanging out on the beach, falling over each other and, you know, and eating hamburgers and going to Pops? Would I want to watch that show?
Right.
Probably not. You know what I mean? Like, it's a fine line, okay?
Yeah.
And should I maybe watch an episode of Riverdale and see if I'm wrong? No, I just don't think I'm going to be, you know? Like,
the biggest thing that concerned me with Justice League was Aquaman. He's definitely not the blonde-haired, orange-shirt, green pants guy.
Mm-hmm.
But after watching it, he's funny. I like him.
I gotta admit, he's not the way I would want to see Aquaman, but I enjoyed him for what he was.
My biggest disappointment was the lack of screen time for Mera.
Oh, but she'll be in the Aquaman movie.
But we needed more of her in this one.
But we'll see her in the next, in the Aquaman movie, which I'm probably going to go to now.
Yeah, but it's things like this. I mean, I like Justice League, I saw it twice. But when you have... Barry Allen, with the Speed Force, with his powers, homeless. But then he gets a job with the forensic department.
Right.
Right. Now, that
he was working. What? That's how he got his powers.
That's how he got his powers.
How'd
he
get his powers?
In there, it was the right mixture of chemicals, lightning, blah, blah. So, I mean, that was, but still, sure they'll explain that because they're talking about
Flash. But sometimes little things like that, you got to look past. But then, okay. One of my first times, okay, if we want to talk about fan rage, probably one of my first times ever fan raging was when I was about the summer between grade 8 and grade 9, when the Batman movie, Tim Burton's Batman, came out.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so excited. Oh, my God. Batman, it's a Batman movie. It's going to be great. Batman and Joker, going to fight each other on screen. You know, I was so excited. And I remember I went down to the Paramount and the Odeon there on George Street, and I went there, and it was went with my cousin Owen. My cousin Owen was in town visiting from Parry Sound, and we watched the Batman movie, and you know, I hated it. And there was one thing about it that just made me not like it.
The fact that he couldn't turn his head?
No! It was this. It was that Joker killed Tom and Martha Wayne.
Yeah.
It was like, what? And the fact that one of the things that's so great about the character of the Joker is he doesn't have an origin and we don't know who he is.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's been, yeah, hints here and there.
Hints there and there, but we don't know. Well, they had him, like, he had a secret identity and a name, and he had killed Batman's parents. And I understood that how that would give the motivation for the two of them to fight. But I remember watching all this going, and I was a kid. What, like, what are you when you, like, it was 1989, so I was about 12 or 13. And I'm watching this going, this is just not Batman mythos. This is so far away from Batman mythos. So I'm like 12 years old, and I get that.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like...
And they've changed it so much.
I know that, but Joe Chill killed Tom and Martha Wayne. Joker had nothing to do with it. He wasn't even... Yeah. And I remember watching it going, I don't like this. This just isn't... Yeah. This isn't cool.
Yeah,
so
fair enough. Yeah.
You know, sometimes it takes that. Sometimes it's just the little things that make us rage.
Yeah.
But of course, back then we didn't have the internet to talk about how much we hated all this crap, and that's why Tim Burton's Batman became like a monumental moment in film.
Yeah.
You know, I still don't like it, but I can identify why it was important and why it was, because it was the first time that a superhero film, well, maybe not the first time, but the first time in a long time, where a superhero film had been taken that seriously.
Yeah.
You know, and that, like, the first time in film history where a superhero film didn't look like a comic book was Superman the Movie, where it looked like it was in our own world, and it was taken seriously.
Yeah.
That is a monumental film. But as that series went along, it started getting cartoony and jokey again. And then the modern superhero film is all thanks to Tim Burton's Batman. And I understand that, so I respect it for what it is. Do I like it? No. I'd rather watch Batman 66. But I get it.
Yeah.
And sometimes we have to maybe look at these things and get it.
Again, I've seen all those, and I wasn't... The thing that bugs me most is, like, you're 10 minutes into the movie, and you've got Lois Lane, and she goes on the Google, and then she's knocking on...
Clark Kent's door!
Yeah. I know your son is Superman. I was like... Holy crap, it's been 10 minutes. She already knows. She Googled him.
You know what my, like, you know what my, the stupidest Lois Lane movie of all time, moment of all time, is in Superman Returns? Was that what it was called? The one with Brandon Routh?
Yep.
Right. And where the airplane's about to go down, and everybody's being, like, slammed into windows and slammed into doors and being slammed around all over the place. And Superman takes the plane, and then Lois Lane comes in. Her hair is perfect. Like, I remember looking at it going, and then there was this whole thing she didn't know who her son, what? Like, what did Superman soupy roofie her? did he have a team up with Bill Cosby? And like,
well, no, it was supposed to be a direct continuation of Superman 2, right?
Right, with the roofie kiss.
Yeah, where he kissed her and she forgot,
Super hypnosis, right?
Yeah. That's right.
So, anyways.
So, let's go back to comics.
Sure.
Did you guys read the Batman Annual that was out
a
few weeks ago?
No, I didn't get a chance to do that one either.
I can't talk about
that. Sure you can.
Well, it was just very, very interesting because the first half of it was the past between Batman and Catwoman.
Okay.
And in this world, she figures out who he is, and then she goes to Wayne Manor and she starts teasing the heck out of him there, like taunting him. But then the last bit of the book skips to the future where they're married and they're old and he's dying. And like, it was a very interesting read, but it was like, it was good. I was like,
you really liked it.
This isn't what I thought it was. I thought it was more about, there must be another issue out there where she actually says yes to his proposal.
She does. There is.
Yeah, I thought there was the annual.
I don't know what issue that is, but I read that before I blocked all the comic book sites.
Yeah.
So, it does exist.
It was an interesting read. It was, you know...
You know, this is one of the reasons me and Marty have to go on more road trips is he's going to have to tell me on the comic book news because I'm not seeing it on social media anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it was good, though. They keep...
It was, yeah, it was a very interesting take. You know, how they met and then technically how they ended, right? Where him passing away. But it was just, it caught me off guard. I didn't expect, I don't know what I was expecting, but it was a good read.
Excellent.
Like you, I've kind of had been backed up a little bit, so I went and cleared out some stuff.
Good, good. It feels good, eh?
It does.
Yeah.
It does. I haven't had a lot of time to read it, but...
I've had nothing but time to read comics lately.
Invincible, which is
Ended. Yeah, I love Invincible. That's a great book.
I read I haven't read it in years. I read the last three issues, mm-hmm. and then there's one more, and then that's it. Which, I mean, he doesn't hold back. This is Robert Kirkman, yeah. right? So Walking Dead guy. He doesn't, and that's what caught me off. That's what got me onto the whole series to begin with. Mm-hmm. It was like, oh yeah, it's like, holy moly, did that just happen? And then that was in the, like the first five pages of the first graphic novel that I read, yeah. or trade paperback, sorry. And I was hooked ever since. Like, I think it's a great, I know I've said this before, but if you guys have a chance to read it, you should really check it out.
I read the first couple of trades,
yeah,
but it's something I definitely haven't finished because, yeah. you know, I haven't had the opportunity. I haven't seen it all, so.
Yeah, it's an interesting mm-hmm. take on the whole superhero alien genre. But.
So speaking of reading comics, my New Year's resolution is to read a comic every day.
Yeah, I've been noticing that on your Instagram.
Posting it on my Instagram, yep.
Yeah.
At Canuck_fan_Dan in case you want to follow me.
If anybody wants to follow me, I'm Sam_Tweedle_Zed, and the Zed stands for Z-Man, as in Z-Man Barzell from Beyond the Valley of the Dolls.
Okay.
But continue.
But so, you know, I'm more of a collector than reader, just out of time, and I'm doing other stuff, and I keep up all the series that I want, but I end up like just being months and months behind. And over Christmas, I read on New Year's Day, I read the entire Why the Last Man trade, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to do this. Every day, I'm going to read a comic. Awesome. This morning, I got up early, so I'd have time before work to read a comic, and then, because I knew I was going to be busy for the rest of the day.
What comic was it?
I don't remember.
There you go.
Do you really not, or you don't want to?
It's on my Instagram, but it might have been. It was North number two.
I know you read some Die Kitty Die.
Die Kitty Die, yeah, because I was way behind on that, and like I'm way behind on a lot of stuff. So much so that I have like a stack of comics that I haven't even put into my long boxes yet. Mm-hmm. So I'm just trying to get through this stuff, and to, you know, like, you can't. I don't want to be just collecting. Like, I need to read these things because that's the whole point.
Yeah.
I've been reading a lot of Walking Dead lately because I picked up when HMB was closing last year, I picked up the three giant omnibuses for about $21 each.
What a wow.
Yeah. So I'm reading through the first omnibus right now, and it's the first time I've read these comics because I picked up The Walking Dead much later. Mm-hmm. And you know, those comics are so good. I still enjoy the new series, like the new, how it's going now. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to talk about that a little bit if you guys have read the new issue.
I have
as well.
Yeah, okay, but like, let's do her.
Just before we get into that, though, but like the older issues, like within an one issue, they meet the governor, and the next issue, he's cut Rick's hand off.
Yeah.
Like, things happen so fast in those issues, whereas now, you know, it takes like four issues for stuff to happen.
Did you read the series with Carl's first kill?
I haven't read that far yet.
That's so good. I won't give it away.
No.
Yeah.
They didn't do it on the TV series.
No. No, they did not.
It's
but
so good.
So, what issue number is the new one? Is it like 175, 173?
I think it's 130 something.
No, it's way past that.
Oh, it's way past. It's in the 170s. But anyways.
It's in the 70s.
Way. It's the first part of a new series.
New World Order, part one. I literally walked into CBA and looked at the cover and then started hitting the person that was with me and going, what is this?
Yeah.
Because the cover is like... one of the characters standing with a couple of guys that almost looks like they're in stormtrooper armor, but like New World Order.
And what a cliffhanger.
Yep. So
what a cliffhanger. Now Marty was saying he read somewhere that is rumored that this is going to be bringing us into the final arc of Walking Dead. Have you guys heard that?
I haven't, but it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's literally this issue is a game changer.
Yeah.
For the entire series, like, that you can't go back from this. So
yeah, it's almost like shows that everything we've read is just
Wild Man Rick in his corner of the lawn while there's a house in the backyard.
Exactly, that's like a great analogy. Yeah, it's just like, wow.
Well, the issue before that kind of wrapped up the Whisperers, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And that was pretty funny. when Beta came out and they took off his mask. He's like, hey, isn't that that superstar guy?
Wasn't he like a basketball,
player or something?
Something like that, yeah.
And now he's... and then they, you know, you see that young couple wanting to join up or whatever. Not really wanting to join up, but then Jesus and...
Moses.
The son come out, and kill the... Well, it's almost like a wrap-up thing.
Yeah.
I expected a lot. Anyways. Yeah. I expected more from Beta, that's for sure.
And they really wrapped up, like, Negan.
Yeah, with they that.
Like, I mean, there's...
That was a great issue.
It was a very good issue. And I don't know if they have, like, does Kirkman just plan to not use him now? He's now just, he's, like, kind of off on his own with his storyline. Well, you gotta remember,
Kirkman has a new book coming out in March.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I can't remember the name of it. Regent something? It's a book by Image. I have it on order. I can't remember the name of it. Marty was the one who pointed it out to me. But he's going to be starting a new book for Image in March.
Invincible's done this month, probably. So.
Yeah.
Okay, so like, let's say that The Walking Dead does end in the next 20 issues.
Mm-hmm.
What? I'm going to be sad.
Well, but you know what? Sometimes, you know what? Maybe we'll get a new series like The Walking Dead, the Daryl Dixon Chronicles, or Ultimate Walking Dead, which is closer to the TV series than the actual series. I mean, they can merchandise the crap out of this stuff. And I would like to point out actually why, because he's sitting at home going, stop stealing my ideas, Tweedle, because this is actually stuff that Marty on our last road trip said to me. These were actually concepts he came up with.
Okay.
Well, no, I came up with the Daryl Dixon Chronicles. He came up with Ultimate Walking Dead. So
there you go.
Yeah, it was a collaboration. See, I don't know, but you know, I was going to say it could be something like this. I'm going to bring this up. I was want to talk about something I'm very, very excited about. Next week, my top three favorite comics of all time is Walking Dead, Preacher, and Strangers in Paradise.
Mm-hmm.
And this year marks the 25th anniversary of Strangers in Paradise. And they wrapped Strangers in Paradise up about seven or eight years ago. Well, next week, a brand new Strangers in Paradise, I think it's called Strangers in Paradise 25, that was for 25th anniversary, number one comes out, and it's a continuation of the series, because Terry Moore has decided he has more story to tell, and it takes place in real time, so that 9 years, kind of like Doctor Who, from the episode with Paul McGann, the American Fox one, to the first episode with Eccleston, it was all in real time. Like, that missing time is there. Well, that's what it's going to be like for the new Strangers in Paradise. Maybe we just have to wait 10 years until Kirkman decides to play in that universe again. I mean, can happen.
It all depends on what he does.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think it would be very interesting. So I guess, like, if you guys don't mind me just saying what actually happened.
No, of course not.
Michonne and Eugene and a couple other characters end up being escorted to a giant settlement called the Commonwealth with 50,000 people.
Yeah.
So that's like, but I was thinking, what would Rick have allowed that if Rick was in that group? Would he have just like, because they're told like, we'll shoot you if you try to do this stuff, whatever.
No, Rick's going to be all crazy and he's going to figure out a way to kill
the guy in charge, even though it doesn't matter.
No, he's going to figure out a way to kill him. Oh, no. They're lying to us. They're a bunch of liars. We're the people that really know what's going on. They're just a bunch of liars. Even though they have 50,000 people and they're liars. Like, he's paranoid. I'm going to get the letters all mixed up, but
post-traumatic stress disorder.
That's what he's dealing with.
Yeah.
Like, that's what Rick has.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is so cool. But we saw that coming after that. Remember the time jump?
Yeah.
I remember how Rick was really cool, but then there was that time where, like, somebody fell asleep on guard or whatever, and Rick just kicked the crap out of them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Rick is crazy. Rick has gone crazy somewhere along the line. I've been always waiting for them to kill him off, as you guys know.
Yeah. Well, I always assumed that he would die and then...
But I think this is an even better fate for him having to look at how wrong he is.
Like having to see something that works fine without him being the lone wolf out there dealing out punishment as he sees fit.
Yeah. It's a fascinating.
Like it's literally been turned on completely on its head right now.
Yeah.
Because Rick has been the hero for 170 issues. And now you're like, okay, so that didn't work as well as whatever they were doing.
Yeah.
Exactly. and they're not Negan, right? We don't know for sure right now, but it's implied that they have killed people.
Yeah.
But in this Walking Dead world, who hasn't?
Right.
Right? Everybody is, even Carl's killed people. Mm-hmm. Just because you kill somebody in The Walking Dead doesn't make you a bad guy. You know, and even Negan is a complex character, not a real bad guy.
Negan has his own code.
Yeah, so...
It's a weird code, but it's a code all the same.
As soon as I got home from the comic book store, I read that issue, and then I was like, oh, I can't wait to talk about this.
Yeah, that's amazing. So,
but this could be... Honestly, they could probably... It's New World Order, number 1 of 6.
Yeah.
Issue 6 could be the end of the series, realistically.
Mm-hmm.
Except it's probably Rick throwing Molotov cocktails at the walls by himself while everybody else is inside saying, calm down, it's okay. Yeah. But, yeah.
Yeah. It's you know what? It's going to be next 6 issues are going to be a wild ride. Or the next 20, or the next year's worth.
The next 6 for sure.
Wouldn't it be wild if, like, Daryl Dixon was, like, the leader of the new colony?
No, it wouldn't be wild.
But he was
completely different than the version on television.
Do we not agree that Maggie should have just killed Negan?
I was waiting for it.
Like
if you were
in her place,
I was disappointed she
did.
I was disappointed she didn't. I was really disappointed she didn't.
It's like that moment it was actually a very cliched thing that happened in that comic. I wasn't going to bring it up because we were not being negative. But like
right.
when
we're
I
we're allowed to be negative, Dan, as long as we're not going online
into
and being
it.
Negative. As long as we're not being stupid and toxic about it.
Like when she had the gun to Negan's head and he was like, just do it, just kill me. I was like, she's not going to do it. I know she's not going to do it. There was no suspense for me because I've seen this movie a million times. Like
that's why
it's a trope. And it would have been shocking. I would have been shocked if she had killed him. I would have turned the page and, you know, if his brains were splattered all over the wall, I would have been like, oh my God, Negan, no, what happened here? This is not how this is supposed to go.
But he is the type of evil that if you don't kill him, he will come back.
But is he evil though?
Very much so.
But we just talked about how complicated he is.
Is it like a pit bull? Is a pit bull evil?
Or the
person who trains it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's Negan.
It's Robert Kirkman's evil, not Negan.
I thought you were going to say, I don't know why, but I thought you were going to say Rob Lowe's evil. I don't know why.
I'm not sure about that, but I don't care for him either way.
All right. Anyway.
But yeah, like I don't think Negan is going to be a bad guy anymore. He's not going to have the saviors. He's not going to be like his time as the character who was the big bad is done. And now he's just a side character that has some funny quips.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So like,
until he isn't.
That actually is his punishment, is that he's just living alone by himself and sad. And
he doesn't even have his bad.
He doesn't even have Rick to swear at.
Yeah.
So
anyway,
that's all the time we got.
Good show. So, it's great to be back. So we're back in 2018, guys, and it's going to be a great year. So thanks for listening, everybody.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like The Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?